Our subject tonight is God's priest and God's priest. God's priest singular and God's priest plural. The Lord Jesus is our one and only sin-atoning high priest, our only advocate, our only heavenly intercessor. We adore none but Him. We reverence none but Him. We worship none but Him. We call upon none but Him. Christ alone is our mediator, our representative, that one who stands in our stead before God, representing us to God, and stands before us, representing God to us. Yet every saved sinner, this is so very, very important, I want you to get it. Every saved sinner is made a priest unto God in Jesus Christ. We are what Peter calls a holy nation and a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Our Lord Jesus has redeemed us with His blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests. Priest. Believers are priests. If God's people half understood that statement, God's people are priests, it would do away with the business of pastoral counseling and pastoral psychobabble and all the stuff preachers do by which they call themselves doing the work of the ministry. I hear preachers talk about pastoring people. That means they keep their nose in your business all the time. That's not a pastor's business. If you do business with God, you don't need to do business with me. If you speak to God about your soul's needs and seek counsel from His Word by His Spirit through Christ the Redeemer, you don't need counsel from me. My purpose as your pastor, as your friend, as God's servant preaching to you, is to so instruct you in the Word of God that you don't lean on me, but you lean on the Redeemer. Preachers, somehow by and large, have it instilled within them from the beginning of this thing that's called the work of the ministry, that somehow we are to function as priests. And we like for people to look. We don't, we're Baptists, so we don't dare call ourselves priests. But we like for folks to treat us like we are priests. That's never to be the case. If you belong to Christ, you are a priest before God. What's a priest? A priest is someone with direct access to God on His throne. A priest is someone with the sacrifice that God will accept. A priest is someone who comes to God by the merit of that sacrifice that God has ordained, confident of acceptance with God, whom God will hear. A priest is one who does business always in the holy place. Where do you find priests? You find them in the house of God. And I'm not talking about this building. No one, I don't think, has higher regard for public worship than the assembly of God's saints and the need that you have to be here this hour than your pastor. I can't stress sufficiently how much you need to be under the ministry of the Word in the fellowship of God's saints in the house of God continually. But that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about day after day after day, day in and day out, from morning to night, from night to morning. God's priest live in His house. We live continually before God Almighty, consciously walking before God in this world as priest unto God. In Exodus 28, Aaron represents the Lord Jesus Christ as our great sin-atoning high priest. Aaron's sons represent believing sinners, you and me, sinners whom Christ has made priest unto God forever. The Lord Jesus is called by the Spirit of God the apostle and high priest of our profession in Hebrews chapter 3. An apostle is one who comes out from God with a message to men. A priest is one who goes into God on behalf of men. Christ Jesus is both. He is the apostle who came out from God with a message for us, and he is our priest who goes in before God representing us before God. He came from God and went back to God, and the great work of the priest is to minister unto the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." That was the word continually on his lips. And we who worship at God's throne delight that it's so. He did God's will on our behalf and now represents us accordingly before God. Now before I try to talk to you about God's priest and God's priests, let's read Exodus chapter 28 together. I have tried my best to divide this up, and I'm going to come back to it, Lord willing, and pick up some things in it, but I want you to see the whole chapter at one reading, and I will be brief in my preaching. The chapter will be longer than the message, but let's read it together. It's so very, very instructive. Exodus 28. If I had time, I would read at the same time Leviticus chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 7. So I encourage you, while the message is fresh on your mind, tonight or tomorrow, sometime while it's fresh on your mind, read Leviticus 28 again. Exodus 28, Leviticus chapter 8, and Hebrews chapter 7. But for now, let's read beginning at verse 1 in Exodus chapter 28. "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen." And verse 6, "They shall make the ephod of gold, of blue and of purple, of scarlet and of fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof. So it shall be joined together, and the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt make two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest, on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial." Verse 13, "And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends of the wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches, so that nothing be loose, nothing be lost, nothing fall out of place." Verse 15, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it. Of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span that shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, and an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Verse 22. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put the breastplate of judgment, put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it. And in the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it may not be rent. Verse 33. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord. And when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on the blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, when the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou, Moses, that man who represents God's law, thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even to the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near to the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not the iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and to his seed after him. All right. First, let's take a careful look at God's priest as he's set before us here. Aaron is typical of the Lord Jesus, our great high priest. Now, the priest, as you might imagine, had to be ceremonially perfect. There could be no blemish in him. He could not minister in the priest office if there were any kind of deformity, any kind of a crippling in his body, any kind of scar, any kind of mark on him. He was disqualified from being a priest. And that clearly is the case representing our Lord Jesus Christ. He must be the perfect God-man, our Savior. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus, was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Man could find no fault in him, and God could find no fault in him. But there's much more about this priest, which signifies and typifies and shows us pictures of our Savior, than just the perfection of his physical appearance as well as his moral character. Everything we're told about Aaron in Exodus 28, every single thing we're told about him is typical of our Savior. The first thing mentioned is God's call and appointment of Aaron. It is God himself who said to Moses, "You take Aaron and his sons out of the people, and you set them apart to be priests unto me." The Apostle Paul takes that this way: "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Every high priest is ordained of God. No man takes this honor on himself, not even our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ was called to this work by the triune God in covenant grace before the world began. And this honor is bestowed upon him as the God-man, our mediator, that he may be our high priest in all things pertaining to our salvation before God. That mediator, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not only was Aaron called, in Leviticus chapter 8, we're told that he and his sons were washed with water. Washed. Obviously, the Lord Jesus didn't have to be washed with water. There was no uncleanness about him. But Aaron's sons, being representative also of God's priest, must be washed. So showing that you and I, though we are accepted of God in Christ, though we are one with Christ, though we are ourselves united with Christ, we must also be washed before God with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, because we are born by nature dead in trespasses and in sins. Third, God commanded Moses to clothe his priest. We'll look a little bit more at the garments, but he is clothed with such magnificent garments as are described in this chapter for specific reasons. In chapter 28, verse 2, this garment is made for Aaron, or these garments are made for Aaron, and Moses is told to put them upon him for his own glory and beauty. His glory, the psalmist said, shall be great in thy salvation. He shall be great, the angel told Mary. Elizabeth told Mary when she brought him into the temple. He shall be great. Our Lord Jesus is great in his glory and beauty because of his accomplishments as our Redeemer. We're not talking now about his character as God. We're not talking now about him as the eternal God. Nothing adds to or diminishes from that glory that he possesses as God. But in everything pertaining to his mediatorial character, his greatness and his glory depend entirely upon his success in his work as our mediator. So that anyone who suggests any possibility of failure in him, any possibility of him trying to do what he did not accomplish, trying to save people he did not save, is to rob him of his glory and his beauty as our mediator. Second, these garments were put on him to consecrate him. To consecrate him as one worthy to minister before the Lord in the holy place. So that these garments he wears as our high priest in heaven, garments that he earned by virtue of his obedience as our mediator on this earth, he now wears before God as our high priest in heaven, as one worthy of God's acceptance, so that he, as our mediator and intercessor, doesn't beg for anything. He doesn't grovel for anything. He doesn't make a bargain for anything, but everything he pleads on our behalf, he pleads with God on the basis of perfect obedience, and so he stands worthy of God's acceptance. Now hear me, children of God. Our worthiness in all things is our connection to him. Our worthiness in all things is our connection to him. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, Paul said, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. What's that mean? Does that mean that if a man or a woman comes to the Lord's table and eats that little bite of bread and drinks that little thimbleful of wine that we have at the Lord's table, and he's not in the right frame of mind, or he's got some secret sin, or he's got some unconfessed sin in his life, then he's going to be damned eating that piece of bread and drinking that wine? No. No. Which of you do not have sin, confessed or unconfessed? I should say confessed and unconfessed. Sins of which we are not even aware. Our worthiness is our connection with Christ. We eat and drink worthily because we are worthy in the Redeemer. Those who go through the exercises of religion without faith in Christ, with every exercise of their religion, saying their prayers, going to church, devoting themselves to this work or that, do but eat and drink damnation to themselves, pretending that they're accepted of God when they have no acceptance with God. Our acceptance with God is altogether by virtue of our connection with Christ. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 12. These garments were made for the priest, that he might bear the names of the children of Israel before the Lord continually. He's always bearing on his shoulders the names of his people. He carries all the weight of our souls. All responsibility, all care is on his shoulders. Oh, how free of care I ought to be. I'm on his shoulders. Do you understand that? Bobby, we're on his shoulders. He carries us all the time. All the time. Look at the scripture again. In verse 30, we're told that he has these garments that he might, with light, that is, with Urim, and with perfection, with Thummim, bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart continually. Now, I don't have any doubt there's a whole lot more there than I have yet to understand. But I understand this much. He who bore all the wrath and judgment of God as our substitute, never forgets. He never forgets the justice he satisfied, the wrath he endured, the vengeance he took away, the fury he swallowed, the horrible judgment of God upon him. He bears it continually before the Lord, and by his knowledge, the prophet said, shall my righteous servant justify many, because he knows whom he's redeemed. And in verse 38, he wears these garments that he might bear the iniquity of the holy things, and yet be accepted and die not. He brings our gifts, our feeble efforts at worshiping and serving our God, our gifts, whether monetary or a gift of praise or a gift of time or the giving of ourselves to Him day after day, as we seek to worship and honor and serve our God. He brings you and me continually bearing the iniquity of the holy things. That is all the evil that's involved with our worship and devotion and faith and consecration. And He bears it that He die not. Wow! That He die not? That none of His own should perish. No possibility of Him dying. We are one with Him. No possibility of us dying. The coat, the robe, the ephod were put on Him. He was robed with garments of glory and beauty. And these holy robes typified not only His character as the God-man, our mediator, but they typified the garments of salvation that He bestows upon us. And then the priest was crowned. There was a mitre put on his head. This priestly dress wasn't complete without the crown. You can read it in Zechariah chapter 3 when Joshua stands as the high priest. And Joshua there picturing you and I clothed with his filthy garments. And then he's stripped to those filthy garments and clothed with the holy garments of the priesthood. And then the Lord stands by and He says, now put this mitre, put this crown on his head. The priest must be one fit to wear a crown. The mediator between God and men must be able to wear and worthy to wear this glorious crown. The crown of holiness is his by right. And then Aaron was anointed. Moses poured out the holy anointing oil on Aaron. We're told in Leviticus 8. The psalmist says the oil runs down Aaron and upon his beard and upon his garments. And so it is that we were anointed with Christ Jesus our Lord. God poured out His Spirit upon Him without measure. And He pours out His Spirit upon His redeemed. He bought us, redeeming us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the promise of Abraham, the blessing of God by the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children, the Scripture says. And then Aaron was sprinkled with blood, and thereby consecrated to the work. And his hands were filled with work. Turn over to Leviticus 8. Just for a minute. Leviticus 8. With this blood sprinkling, God claimed him as His priest. You remember in Isaiah 63, He stains His garments with blood. He is claimed by God as His priest. And when God claims him as His priest, God fills his hands with the work to perform. Leviticus 8, verse 24. He brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he took the fat and the rump, and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat in the right shoulder. And out of the basket of unleavened bread, That was before the Lord. He took one unleavened cake and a cake of oil bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. Now watch this. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon the hands, upon his son's hands, and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. The voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Father claimed him. And the Lord God gave his Spirit to him without measure, and his hands were filled. This is the work he must perform. Everything represented in these sacrifices, that is the full redemption and salvation of his people. That as the priest, now listen, He weighs before the Lord. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Everything's all right. Everything's all right. Oh, God, teach me to understand this. Everything's all right because the advocate is continually waving the sacrifice before the Lord. Now what must I do? What must I do? What is it for me to repent of my sins? What is it for me to turn from my ungodliness? What is it for me to turn again to God and trust Him and look to Him and rejoice in Him? It is to take that same sacrifice and wave it before the Lord. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins. In Leviticus 8, verse 31, you'll notice that Aaron the priest fed on the bread of consecration. The holy bread was his. What no one else could touch was his by right as the priest. And the Lord Jesus once said to His disciples, "I have meat to eat you know not of." And yet, this same bread, Christ Jesus the Lord, is that one on whom we feed continually. That which satisfies Him as a just God and a Savior is that which satisfies us. That which meets every demand of God for us meets every demand of our consciences before God. All right, now, look for just a minute at God's priest, plural. Aaron's sons. And watch what the book here teaches. I promise you, we'll come back and get more. First, the names of Aaron and his sons are constantly united. 28 times you read these words, Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. What's that mean? They were chosen at the same time, together. They were ordained priests at the same time, together. They were accepted before God and by God at the same time, together. They stand together, or they fall together. Aaron and his sons were themselves clothed together with the same garments at the same time. Oh, the depths. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, called, clothed, and accepted with Him, one with Him from eternity. As our Aaron, the Lord Jesus, had certainly special garments that were all His own. Those white linen garments representing God's salvation by Christ Jesus, called the righteousness of the saints, are the same garments worn by the Savior and worn by the sinner saved by His grace. Aaron's sons and Aaron were called with the same calling and their hands filled with the same work. I don't have any idea how to even begin to think, much less explain this statement. Lindsay Campbell, God Almighty sent you into this world for the same reason He sent His Son into this world, for the saving of His people. Our Lord Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so have I sent you. Aaron and his sons stand together before God with these white linen garments. The hymn writer put it this way, with his spotless garments on, holy as the Holy One. They had the same anointing, the same Spirit by which Christ was given acceptance as our mediator and given power as our mediator is the Spirit by which we stand accepted before God, given power as the sons of God to call ourselves the sons of God. Both Aaron and his sons had their hands filled with the same offering. Obedience, perfect righteousness, and satisfaction, complete atonement represented in those sacrifices. Both Aaron and his sons fed upon that sacrifice. Fed upon the perfect satisfaction of God in our room instead. And they were priests by the same authority. To as many as believe on His name, to them gave He power. Power. To become the sons of God. Power. I remember a good while back, Brother Darvin Pruitt, we came out of the office one night, and he had his Bible open, John 17, and said, Thou hast given Him power of all flesh. He said, Brother Don, does that word power, does that mean authority or might? I said, yeah. That's what it means. Authority and might. So that when God Almighty comes to a chosen sinner, redeemed by His blood, and gives him grace to believe, the sinner now has the right stamped on his heart through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the power given in his soul by the renewing grace of God the Holy Spirit to lift his eyes to heaven and say, God is my Father. That means Joe Blakely has the same right to enter into heaven, into God's presence, as Jesus Christ Himself. It's called free grace in a blessed substitute. We're priests by the same authority. Now, just very briefly, go back to Exodus and Leviticus. You don't have to look at them. I'll give you the garments that are mentioned here. The priest's coat worn next to his body was made of fine linen, white and clean. This white linen is called the righteousness of the saints in Revelation 19. White, not to cover uncleanness, but to cover nakedness when you come to the altar of Christ, so that our nakedness, our shame, not be exposed. The uncleanness our Redeemer has taken away, and we wear the garments of perfect righteousness because we dare not come before God in our natural nakedness. The robe that was worn over the white linen was all of blue, curiously wrought, without a seam. Obviously speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ in His everlasting divinity. Curiously wrought in His incarnation, with no seam in it, and impossible to tear, because He is Himself God, our Savior. Attached to the hem of the robe are bells and pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. That He may go into the holy place. Now, you've heard preachers refer to this saying, well, the bell and pomegranates is when the high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies where no man was allowed to go but him. As long as they hear the bell of pomegranates, they knew everything's all right. That's not the case. He took this outer garment off when he went into the Holy of Holies. This he wears when he goes about the holy place in his daily ministry, that he die not. What? How is it that a bell and a pomegranate ringing bells keeps the fellow from dying? The bell and pomegranate represents the willingness and the joy of the priest. Our Lord Jesus, while he goes through this world, obeying God in all things, doing the will of God in all things in our room instead, bearing all our responsibility before God, does it with joy. With joy. As a willing sacrifice and a willing substitute. The ephod, this part of the priest's attire, was worn above the robe of blue. It was made of the same materials as the veil, blue and purple and scarlet. We have the same order here as in the curtains. The white coat representing Christ's righteousness, his perfect character. In that effort, the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and the perfections. And then he has this girdle connected. This girdle binding up everything. This girdle to which everything was attached. The girdle speaking of that with which one labors. That with which one goes to war. That which binds up and gives strength. And in Revelation chapter 1 verse 13, we see this same great priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, wearing the golden girdle still. And then he's got this breastplate, 9 inches square, formed with cunning work of gold and blue and purple and scarlet. It was not to be loosed from the ephod. It was typical of something that belongs to Christ as our mediator. Something that can't be lost. Because this garment remembers for his glory and his beauty. This garment is his glory and his beauty. And the ephod is bound to the breastplate and the breastplate to the ephod. Because here are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel as they were born engraved, represented in 12 different stones. All of them precious stones. Stones by which God gathers his jewels for his own crown. And not one can be lost because Christ's glory and beauty as the priest depends on my salvation and yours. It depends entirely on the salvation of his people. And then on his head is a mitre. A mitre that reads holiness to the Lord right in the front. So that as our high priest goes in before God, he wears this mitre. And he goes about all the work of the sanctuary, keeping everything trimmed, all the lights working, all the candles burning, and all the bread fresh, and everything functioning just properly. He goes about all the business with this mitre and this writing, holiness to the Lord, holiness to the Lord, holiness to the Lord. And as he makes sacrifice, holiness to the Lord. And as he sprinkles blood on the altar, holiness to the Lord. And as the fire consumes the sacrifice, holiness to the Lord. And as he puts the same mitre back on after going into the Holy of Holies, he comes out and he lifts his hands and he blesses the people in the name of Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior. And he does so saying, holiness to the Lord. For in all our great salvation, God Almighty is displaying to wondering worlds the perfection of his holiness in saving a people for himself. And that's the work of the priest And that's the salvation of the priests. Amen.